was a blessing to you. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I want to read some verses tonight, and I'll try not to be very long before you. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And I want to begin reading in verse number 17. Those of you who study the Word of God, you'll find this to be a familiar story. We're introduced in the first part of this chapter to a woman that the Bible refers to her as a great woman. And we know her as the Shunammite woman. And the Bible said that Elisha and his servant would go through the town where she lived. And one day she looked out, she said, "I perceive that this is a holy man of God." And she told her husband, said, "Let's make a little chamber for him on the wall. A place he can rest himself, lay down." And sure enough, they did just that and showed kindness to the man of God. And in the first part of this chapter, you'll find that one day Elisha and his servant Gehazi are there. And I guess they were just thinking about, you know, this Shunammite woman's been awfully good to us. There ought to be something we could do for her. And the Bible said that Elisha said, "Go call her." And they said, "Would you have us to speak for the captain of the host or to the king?" She said, "I dwell among my own people." She said, "I don't need anything. I appreciate that gesture, but I don't need anything." And Gehazi then told Elisha, he said, "I'll tell you what she needs." Said, "She don't have a child and her husband is old." And the Bible said that Elisha had her to come in. He said, "Listen, according to the season of life, according to the time of the season of life, you're going to have a child." And the Bible said, she said, "No, don't deceive me." And here's a woman that she did not have a child. And the Bible said, just like the what Elisha said, we find we're picking up the story here in verse number 17. And the Bible says this, "And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to a lad, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, 'Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again.' And he said, 'Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath.' And she said, 'It shall be well.' And then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee.' So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.' And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me.' Then she said, 'Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me?' Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. And if thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff on the face of the child.' And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, 'The child is not awake.' And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, 'Call this Shunammite.' So he called her. And when she was coming to him, he said, 'Take up thy son, Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. And I pray now, Lord, that you would help me for just a few moments tonight. And God will give you praise for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the word of God, we find the scene. Here's this child that has been promised of God by Elisha. And the Bible said this woman conceived and bare a child. And it came a day that he was old enough to go out to the fields with the reapers with his father. And the Bible said when he got out there that he began to complain about his head. My head, my head. Most commentators believe he may have had a heat stroke. I don't know what it was. But I know that, as a matter of fact, I preached a message off of this one time on a generation that's become a head case. And we are certainly in those days today, aren't we? Have you ever seen time kids and young people are messed up in their mind and it's not their fault many times. It's the culture that they've been raised in. And here this young man, his father says, I want you to take him back to the house to his mother. And the Bible said this, that he carried him back to his mother. And he sat on her knees until noon and then died. I don't have to tell you this is a tragic event in the life of any mother. There's not a mother in this building that would want to hold your child in your arms as they take their last breath. But here is a woman, the Bible describes her as a great woman, and he sat on her knees until noon and then he died. Now here's the interesting part of it. Normally, when somebody dies, there are certain things that we do. Most of the time, we call family in. We let everybody know what has happened, and people come in. They then go about taking care of the body. But in this instant, this woman did not do anything that you would normally do when someone dies. The Bible said when this young man died, this son of hers died, that she took him and she laid him upon the bed of the man of God. She took him to a place that had been set apart and sanctified for the use of God's man. I'm going to tell you, you got a youngin' that's in trouble tonight, just carry him in your prayers up to a place that's been set apart by God and let God have that situation. And here's the scene. The Bible said she laid him on the bed of the man of God and she went out. And here is key. The Bible said she shut the door. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of troubles in our lives. We like to keep the door open. We like to be able to keep an eye on it. We like to be able to look back at those things maybe that we've gone through. But here's the key. The Bible said she shut the door and then she went out to her husband and she said, hey, I'm going to put it in my words now. She told him, said, get one of the servants to saddle an ass. Said, I need to go see the preacher. And he said, why are you going today? It's not new moon. It's not the Sabbath. She said, it shall be well. And the Bible said that they saddled an ass and she told that servant, she said, drive. And she said, don't slow down now. Said, I'm going to go run to the man of God. And here's the scene. Can you imagine as Elisha and Gehazi are up on Mount Carmel, off in a distance, he looks and he says, Gehazi, that looks like that Shunammite woman coming yonder. Run down there and see if everything's all right. And here's where the story, it comes to a climax, if you will, on her part. The Bible said, Gehazi went down, he asked her, he said, is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? And is it well with the child? Now here is the strangest answer you've ever heard with a mama who's got a dead baby back at the house. She looked at him and she said, it is well. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. There's going to be a lot of days in this life when things are not well. There's going to be days when your heart's broken a million pieces, but I'm glad that in those times we can have a faith that says it's well when things just aren't well. I begin to think about this. Here's a woman, and now she said, it is well. All of a sudden, she comes to where Elisha's at, and she falls down, and Elisha recognizes the anguish she is in. And he said, her soul's vexed in her. Said, God hadn't showed it to me. And then he began to ask the situation, and you see what God did to change this situation. I thought about that, and I'm preaching on that subject tonight on a faith that says it's well when things just aren't well. I want to just give you a few things tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, when you... how you're able to say it as well when things just aren't well. You have to have a faith that trusts the promise and the provision of God. You see, this woman has a child now, and this is something that apparently that she had desired, and her heart is so engulfed in this child, and then all of a sudden, that thing that she had so desired has now died in her arms. Sometimes we get something in our life, and boy, it makes us happy, and it's something that we cherished and something we long for. And then all of a sudden, something happens to seemingly dash all of that happiness upon the rocks, and something happens to just seemingly take away that we had desired so much. And here she is, and she's lost this child, and he's dead. And she took him in, laid him on the bed, and shut the door. But she's able to say it as well, because this woman recognized something that every one of you need to recognize, that this. She recognized that this wasn't her baby. It was God's baby. This woman never asked for this child. This baby was God's idea for her life. I thought about minding my own business. God began to deal with me to preach. Next thing I know, I surrendered the call to preach. Boy, I've been pastor now 30 years in one place, and there's been a lot of days that I've acted like that was my baby I was trying to take care of. Sometimes it wasn't in good shape. Sometimes it's causing me grief and tears. I remember one day I was overwhelmed by stuff that people were going through. I couldn't fix none of it. It was on a Saturday, and I was carrying the weight of everybody's problems, carrying my own problems, and I went out to my place of prayer. And I'll be honest with you, I was just loaded down in mind and heart and everything else. And I went to praying, and I vented to God for about 30 minutes. I said, God, I can't fix this one over here. This one over here's got issues, and I can't take care of that. And I said, this one done went goofy over here, and this one. Now, don't look at me like Baptists don't ever go goofy in Fletcher, North Carolina. Amen. And I said, I can't fix none of it. And I was wore out. And after I got done praying, it's like God said, are you through now? I said, yeah, what are you going to do about it? He said, this is what you should have done all along. You should have brought it all to me. And I went in the house that day, and I wrote that song, and I've sung it here several times. When troubles come against me, and I feel so overwhelmed, when it seems the more I'm trying, that my troubles seem to swell. When I've reached the end of me, and my faith is growing dim, I hear a still voice whisper, just bring it all to Him. I just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. When the burdens get so heavy and your sight is getting dim, oh, it sure is good in knowing that I can bring it all to Him. You see, I recognize that day that it wasn't my baby, it was God's baby. And here's a woman, she can run up to Gehazi, and he says, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? She said, it is well, because she recognized this child ain't mine. It's God's child. If God chooses to let it die, He can. But if it's God's child, He's got the power to raise it to new life. Hallelujah. Some of you worrying about a problem, carrying some burden each night to bed with you, sometimes laying awake at night, and boy, you're just tossing in the bed over that thing. Well, you need to realize this one thing. It ain't your baby. It's God's baby. Hallelujah. And just put it in His hands and let Him take care of it. Amen. I think about my preacher friend who's in heaven telling the story about, said he used to toss into bed at night. I think I've told this story here. I've been preaching down here several years, but it's so good I tell it everywhere I go. He's laying in the bed tossing, and he said, I always worried about everything, and said my wife didn't worry about nothing. And said, one night I was laying there rolling in the bed, worried about this going on at the church and that I couldn't fix, and said, I woke my wife up that night and said, she was laying over there in the dark side. I didn't even know she was awake. Here I am laying there wide awake in the dark, worried about my problems. All of a sudden, I heard my wife's voice say, it was Brother Charles Worley told me this. Brother Charles said, my wife, Sister Frances, said, I heard her speak up and say, Charles, we're going to have to quit acting like we ain't got no God. You talk about a mic drop moment in the middle of the night in the dark when your wife, boy, that's why they're called helpmates, praise God. And he said, you after that, he said, I didn't worry about that thing no more. I got news for you right now. Some of you right now got something that's ripping your heart apart. Just know this, it's God's baby. And you do have a God. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what else is it about this faith that says it's well when things just aren't well? You got to trust the promise and the provision of God. It's a faith that propels us forward in the darkest days of our life. If you notice this story, the Bible said she went to her husband and she said, call one of the young servants and saddle an ass for me. She said, I need to go see the preacher. Of course, he began to question why, and she said, it shall be well. And the Bible said this. If you read that in your King James Bible now, you're going to have to help me on this point right here, because I can't use the Bible word here, because you're going to have to do the word math in your head now, okay? And you'll understand what I'm saying here in just a minute. She told him, she said, saddle this ass, the Bible says. And I want you to notice what it said. She told the servant, she said, drive. If you look in your Bible, that word drive is a capital D. There's emphasis on the word drive there. And then the word she said next, and go forward. You say, preacher, why is that important? Well, backwards, all she's got back there is heartache. All she's got back there is a dead baby, and she can't do nothing about it. All she's got, I mean, it'd been a natural instinct to just sit down beside the bed of that child and grieve. That is a natural process that we go through in this life. It would have been an easy thing to have done that. But I'll tell you what the hard thing is when you've had something that's brought you to your knees and you get up and say, we're going forward. We're not going to live back there. I've done shut the door. I can't do nothing about that. I'm leaving it in God. Hands, hallelujah to his name. And boy, I tell you what, put this, she told him, she said, put this, and I'm going to call it a donkey. I'm not using the Bible word here for it. I'll call it a donkey. How's that? Said, put this donkey in gear. And said, don't slack riding. In other words, she said, put it in the wind. Said, I want to see what the, and said, don't slow down unless I tell you to. Amen. And I thought about that. I said, I know a lot of Baptists tonight that somebody needs to look at them and tell them to get their donkey in gear. Y'all doing the word math in your head there, ain't you? I can't. That's why I have to have your help on that point right there. I'm talking about, there's a few times we sit down in our problem, we sit down in our grief, we sit down in situations that perplex us and we don't want to go forward, but I'm here to tell you, if you'll just say, God, if you'll help me saddle up, I'm going to ride forward, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to leave it with you, and I want you, God, to help me in my situation of life. Oh, it's a faith that propels us forward in the darkest. It's not easy doing that, but boy, it's the right thing to do. Oh, you say, preacher, what else was it? It was a faith that didn't point fingers and place blame when bad things happened. You know, it'd have been easy for this woman. That child goes out to the field for the first time with his father. And first time out there, falls ill. Next thing you know, they brought him back to the house. He's died on her lap. It'd been easy for her to say, why didn't you watch him? Why didn't you take care of him? Our child's dead because of you. But you notice she didn't even tell her husband the child had died. Here was a woman that wasn't looking for nobody to blame for the problem. You know why most of the time we stay in our grief? Because we're looking to see who's to fault and who's to blame for what's happened in our life. Boy, we can find a whole list of things and we can blame it on this one, blame it on that one, and I've done plenty of that. But boy, it'll be a day of victory in your life when you tear up your blame list. So there ain't nobody to blame. It's God's business, and he can do whatever he wants to do, and I'm just along for the ride. But I'm going to tell you something right now. She did not point fingers and assign blame. But I'll tell you what her problem did do. It put her in a right position. She fell on her face when she got to the man of God. And the Bible said she grabbed him by the feet. Gehazi went to push her away. He said, let her alone. Her soul's vexed in her, and I didn't know it. And then he began to find out what the problem is. She's now on her knees. Let me tell you something. You say, preacher, I've got a problem that's driven me to my knees. And that's exactly where God wants to get us to. I'm going to tell you something. It's when you get on your knees that you're going to find the strength to get up again and go forward. Boy, I tell you, this life is nothing but heartache and trouble on every hand. I don't have to tell you that. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He said, in this world you'll have tribulations. But he said, in me you'll have peace. He said, because I've overcome the world. Amen. People looking for peace in a lot of things nowadays. And I'm going to tell you, you look on the news, you won't find no peace. You look around you, you won't find no peace. You won't find chaos. Things going on. And I'm going to tell you something. The only place you'll find peace is in the one that has the ability to give peace. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, it's a faith. Oh, that put her in right position. Oh, then it's a faith that exercised patience in the process. Everybody here, and I'm with you, we want instant miracles to happen in our life. When we pray, we want God to flip a switch and it be done. Sometimes we treat God like he's a magic genie. If we'll just rub the lamp and he'll grant our three wishes, but that ain't the way it works with God. We bring our petitions because he tells us to. And we pray and we trust him with it, because a lot of times when I pray, I'm praying for an answer that is not God's will. You see, he knows what I need better than I do. And sometimes my praying ain't right. Sometimes my praying is out of kilter with God's plan for my life. And I have to, in those times, understand God has a process that he's going to take me through. Here in this scene, the Bible said Elisha looked at Gehazi. I said, Gehazi, said, I want you to run on, take my staff and lay it on this young man's face. And the woman looked at him and said, I appreciate you sending Gehazi, but she said, I ain't leaving here without you, Elisha. And the Bible said they followed on behind. Gehazi got there and he laid the staff, and there was no voice, there was no hearing. And he came out and he said, the child's not awake. In other words, he's dead. The Bible said Elisha went up into the room where that boy's laying. And the Bible said Elisha shut the door. That's two times. Two is the number of witness. Two times we have it recorded in this story that the door was shut. The mama shut the door, and then the preacher shut the door. Can you imagine the anxiousness of this mother as she's down in the house? He's there in that little chamber where she built, and her and her husband built, and now all of a sudden she's down there. She don't know what's going on. The door shut, and Elisha's up there in the strangest procedure you've ever seen in your life. He put his hands upon his hands. He put his mouth upon his mouth. He put his eyes upon his eyes and stretched himself upon the child. And the Bible said this, that the flesh of the child waxed warm. Here's a picture of a young man warming up to the preacher. That's why you ought to get your youngins around God's man. You ought to bring them to the house of God and get them around the preacher, because if they hang around him long enough, they'll start warming up to him. Now, he wasn't alive yet, but his flesh began to wax warm. And here's the kicker. You know you got a problem. It's one thing for you to be walking the floor over your problem. But here's the kicker. The Bible said Elisha came down out of the loft and he walked to and fro in the house. Even Elisha's walking the floor over this problem. And he went back up, and the Bible said he stretched himself upon the child and the child sneezed 7 times. There's so much in this, and I still ain't figured some of it out yet. Preacher, you need to figure that out and tell me what that signifies there. But I do know this. I do know this. The Bible said the child came to life again. Can I say to you right now, your miracle may occur in a process of steps. You may be praying for a loved one that's out there in the far country, and you're praying they'll call you tonight and just run back home, and that might happen like that. But it may be some steps. It may be just a text to let them know that you still care, and it might be that they respond just to a simple text. It might be another step that it may take weeks before that next step happens. But I'm going to tell you something, after a while, situation starts warming up a little bit. And the next thing you know, here's a woman that the Bible said the first time she was given a child and she embraced a child, but now she was happy the day that baby was born. Every mama's happy on the day a baby's born. But I promise you this, she found a new depth of happiness on the day that she was able to go up and take that baby up in her arms again after he had been dead and now he's alive. Hallelujah. You talk about a happy time. This mother had a happy time. Hallelujah. And it's all because she had a faith that said it's well when things aren't well. I hope everything's well in everybody's life here tonight. But the truth of the matter is, you may be here tonight. You may be much like this mother. She had a dead child back at the house. They asked her, "Say, how you doing?" I'm fine. Everything's well. You may be saying that, but behind that smile, things may not be well. But I'm glad if you've got that faith. Trust God. Give your problem to God. I'm glad He'll help you. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for what you've done for us tonight. Lord, I pray that you take the scattered thoughts tonight and speak to somebody's heart here in the service tonight. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us. Help us now, I pray. Lord, in this time of invitation, Lord, we'll give you praise for what you do. If I could get our sister to come with a song to play tonight, I want to ask you tonight, as